hallucination. Cette ville est devenue mon cauchemar. Où es-tu?
Good morning and welcome to the Community Living Show. And this is Michael Rubin. And we have a guest today on the phone, Karen McGill. And we spoke with her before, and she's here to talk to us today about, of course, her story with MS and everything. And her 90-day turnaround program as a financial coach. So... let's bring Karen on. Good morning, Karen. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Michael. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Some would think that I actually like you or something.
Yeah, somebody would think that. We got to disabuse them of that notion, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. It's like we can't have them being confused about these sort of things, right?
Right.
So, how's your morning going so far?
Oh, going well.
Yeah.
Sun shining, I'm awake, I'm alive. That's always a plus.
Yes. Something about being able to step on the floor and breathe, it's a plus, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, we're going to start off with a little bit about your story. So if you want to tell everybody a little bit about who you are and everything and a little bit of background.
Well, as I said, my name is Karen McGill.
Mm-hmm.
On June 5th, 2000, well, when I went to bed on June 4th, I had the world by the tail. I had this great job with the federal government. I was a tax collector. But I could move around in the government offices. My one-year anniversary was coming up. I mean, everything was great. I was making more money than I ever had in my life. Spending it just as fast, too, by the way. Then June 5th, I woke up partially paralyzed on one side of my body. It was as if someone had drawn a line down the center of my body, and one side worked and the other didn't. 9 days later, after an MRI, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, MS.
Right.
By the end of September, when I went to the MS clinic out at UBC, I had to go on disability. And I had to take a 30% cut in my income.
Wow. That's quite a bit.
It is. It's all of a sudden, you know, because, I mean, I admit, I was foolish with money. I was living high on the hog, you know, thought it would never end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was secure in a government job. You don't get fired from those unless you really screw up. So, yeah, I thought everything was great. Oh, you know, A-okay, no problem at all. By the time, and then when I first went on disability, I had to go on EI, and we had to keep proving that I was disabled because my doctor had put down that I was likely never to return to work and didn't put an end date. So they kept having me reprove everything.
So how long did that go on? You have to keep reproving everything?
Yeah, every couple of weeks because it was from, let's see, oh, and I had a waiting period too because I had gone back to work. I didn't immediately go on disability when I had the attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a few months, and good thing I had a very understanding landlord. where I could, you know, just pay him his rent in, you know, dribs and drabs.
Right.
So they were really good on that. And by the end of January, though, everything was settled. I had all, you know, all my payments were in place. And then from there, I went on to start writing again. I'd always written books. And I started writing, but there's not, it's hard to make money in writing, especially when it's novels.
Yeah, it's the arts are not an easy place to make money, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I was close to $60,000 in debt. Because like I said, I was actually spending my money faster than I was making it when I was working for the government. So
yeah.
I ended up having to, I went to a debt counselor and they advised, because it didn't look like I had any other way of making money at that point. So I ended up filing for bankruptcy.
How'd that feel?
I was ashamed of myself. I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. It was, how could I get myself into that problem, into that far into debt, that my only recourse was bankruptcy?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is really hard on you emotionally to do that. I mean, they think, oh, well, you know, it's easy to just file for bankruptcy. Eh. And then you have to spend a few months keeping track of everything I spent and, so, you know, giving it to the trustees. And then that you get, I don't know if everybody does, but me, I ended up getting paranoid about how much I was spending. You know, were they going to judge me on this, or this, you know?
Oh, I get paranoid about spending, and I've never even been through a bankruptcy. It's just a natural paranoia.
Yeah, you start thinking, oh, Lord, you know, especially if you think somebody's going to be looking it over and judging you on it.
Yeah.
That's even worse. But
I can imagine so, you know? So.
The scariest thing I found, though, is that after, once I was able to get credit again, I started just spending the same way. I'm not kidding. It was just like, and one day I just kind of said, what are you doing? You know, you end up getting yourself way into debt again and having to file for another bankruptcy. So that's when I kind of, you know, grabbed the proverbial bull by the horns and went, okay, time to pull back.
Yeah. So how did you pull back?
Just start keeping track of how much I was spending, what I was spending it on.
Okay.
And going, okay, start thinking. I mean, just simple little steps at first. Start thinking before you actually buy something.
Okay, yeah.
Did you know how many people actually disable themselves through getting so far into debt?
No. I really don't. I have no clue how many people actually do that. I know that there's a lot of people that carry huge amounts of debt with them, but no, really.
I don't have a number. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like a rhetorical.
Oh, I was hoping you would actually.
No, I don't have. I do know that the average Canadian, and this was from a few years ago, it was about $21,164 in unsecured debt. So that's credit cards, lines of credit, things like that. Mm-hmm. And the average interest rate on that is 18.9% per year. And remember, that's compounded daily.
Oh, yeah. The banks do that. It's compounded daily, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're just paying the minimum amount, it's going to take you 16 years and 5 months to pay it off. And this is, of course, if you don't put anything else on it, too. And then you're going to be paying $13,607.55 in interest. That's over half the amount of the original debt.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
It is. And it's scary that people don't actually, I think a lot of people put their heads in the sand and don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You think, you know, if you don't look at it, well, if we don't actually acknowledge it, just, you know, pay it. You know, pay the minimum. But they just keep sinking further and further into debt. And as you know, I like to help the disabled, so this is one area that is of disability that's easier to help than others.
Yeah. Financial is one of the, it's probably one of the number one reasons why there's so many disabled people that that are homeless.
Yeah, it's, well, a lot of that too, is that, okay, I know that personally, and this is, I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, but I know that with me, it's like when I became disabled, I started buying stupid things because I was bored, frustrated, lonely, mm-hmm. and scared about, you know, what's going to happen with my future. So you end up, you know, spending and spending on credit. And if you are on the provincial disability money, you're not getting a lot of money.
No. Well, how much does the average person actually get on the provincial program?
That I'm not okay. I can check on that right now if you'd like, because I don't know the number offhand.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
even just like a ballpark, you know, is you know, because I'm sure people could say, well, yeah, that's the boat I'm in. That's about what I get, you know.
Yeah, I think it is around. I've got it right here. You know, I think it's around 700, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it. It's around $700, I think. $794.
Wow. That's...
I think. I'm not sure. But then you've got shelter maximum is not that much either, $375.
Mm-hmm.
So
what does that mean, shelter maximum?
With housing.
Like, yeah, that's the maximum the government will pay, and then you have to pay the rest?
Yeah. Or get something that is within that amount.
Yeah, because the average rent in the Vancouver area is about $1,000 for a one-bedroom place.
And $1,000 for a one-bedroom, you're probably not going to get, it's going to be tiny.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not very big.
Yeah.
So if your housing is 350 max that the government will cover, well, where's the rest supposed to come from?
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
So it's easy to see where people start to get into debt, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is that, and even, as you're not going to get into much credit card debt if you're on disability, provincial disability, because you can't get a credit card.
Right.
You're not going to get a line of credit or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
My goal with my coaching program is to eventually get to the point in the next couple of years where I can hire people who have disabilities.
Yes.
And have a computer connection that can, I'll give them leads and they can coach people with financial problems and then make a little bit of extra themselves.
That'd be great. I'm sure a lot of people would actually like that idea, you know? So, I, I know you've been working on the program for quite some time, of how to help people reduce their debt amounts and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And your qualifications, they come from working with the CRA, right?
Well, I was a tax collector at the CRA.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I started when I first got in there into the CRA. It was with actually a clerical position, and then I went to the tax collector. And what I really liked was when I could get someone who had actually we worked out a budget for mm-hmm. them, and they would send me postdated checks, which would get registered into the system. And I loved doing that because I thought, you know, when you have to go out and garnish their wages, we didn't communicate. It's like a failure. So I really liked it when I help people. Not only that, I've been like a bookkeeper for my own companies and that for years. Kept track of all the books. And then my life experience was going through it. Because I feel that you can't really understand somebody who is in dire financial straits and is feeling that desperation unless you've been there yourself.
Right. I guess that kind of makes sense.
Because it's fine, you know, you get all these financial gurus who have never actually experienced, you know, the negative feelings and the despair and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to tell you how to live your, you know, how you should be handling your finances. Things like, you know, you've got to put 20% away. Well, when you're just scraping by, it's kind of hard to put 20% away into savings. Because you just don't have it.
Right. The 20% becomes, hey, do I go buy a bag of groceries or stuff a couple cents in the bank, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, and getting somebody saving money is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting the habit, even if you're only putting $1 a check away into a piggy bank.
Right.
Because you're just getting yourself into the habit.
Mm-hmm. You have to make it kind of be habit forming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is that a lot of people, when they start to put even just like, you know, a dollar away and whatever, they start trying to find more money to be able to put away. Because it gets exciting.
Well, it makes sense. That does make sense. So I need to go to a station break, and you're listening to Community Living Radio on NCRA Networks, and we're broadcasting live from UBC at CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver.
On Labor Day weekend, September 2nd to the 4th, it's the Bumbershoot Festival 2016 in Seattle, Washington. The festival's got a little something for everyone, with music, comedy, arts, culture, and food. Featuring Chastity Belt, So Pitted, Dude York, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Death Cab for Cutie, and more. Passes are on sale now, so head on over to Bumbershoot.com.
I swear to God, I'm not wearing just my underwear right now. This is Beth.
Hi, this is Beth Ditto from The Gossip, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
No, yeah, this is the best thing in the world. You guys are going to be blown away.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Community Living Radio on the NCRA networks, and we're here at UBC's CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and we're speaking with Karen McGill, and she's explaining to us about some financial coaching along with her program is called the 90-Day Turnaround. Is that right, the 90-Day Turnaround?
90-Day Turnaround, 90 Days to Financial Stability.
Yeah. So we were talking about being able to sock money away.
Yes, I mean, and it isn't... I know myself, when I first started looking into finance, and they've got the 50-30-20 rule, which a lot of people follow, where 50% goes for the essentials like food and transportation and your rent or mortgage or whatever. And then 30% is your lifestyle, say like cable, your entertainment, your clothing and everything else. And then 20% is supposed to go to savings. But as we were saying before the break, a lot of times there's a lot of people that can't do that, and it turns them right off. See, whereas I coach them to at least start putting something away, even if it's just a dollar.
Right.
Or $5 or 10.
So, 'cause you were saying that we have to make it a habit, and that dollar helps make it a habit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get into, you know, other areas once you start. And once you start paying down your bills, you can start paying more, putting more away. I mean, what I've done is I've opened a bank account at a different bank, and I've got a card, but I have to go right into the bank to deposit and to take money out. And I get charged if I take money out. I think I've got 2 free withdrawals a month or something, so I just don't take money out. And I can't access it through a bank machine.
How important is that? You know, making sure that you can't access the money through a bank machine.
In my mind, it is really important because it is so easy. Say you're out, you've gone out for a couple of drinks and you're short on cash. So you go and you go to the bank machine where you're supposed to have your savings. And you start depleting your savings, saying, oh, well, I'll put it back in. Or you see that, you know, a dress or a pair of shoes or a sports equipment you really have to have, and you don't have credit cards with you because you're not using them, so you go and take out of your savings.
Yeah.
Instead of taking a step back and going, listen, do I really want that?
Well, you hit on 2 things that are true about me. 1, the weakness for shoes, and 2, that I don't have any credit cards. But yeah, but at the same time, I don't carry cash with me. I always have my bank card.
Yeah.
So when it comes to a pair of shoes, I get pretty how to put it. I'll forget everything else and just like, oh, shoes. But
that's the problem with a lot of people. And because we do live in such a commercialized society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always, you're always being bombarded with buy this, buy this, buy this. And they start getting translated into needs, where what they really are is wants.
How do we tell the difference between a want and a need?
Well, a want and a need. Is it something that is, let's say, okay, I'll take you for an example.
Mm-hmm.
Your shoes.
Okay.
Be honest. Do you really need another pair?
Well, I have about 160 pairs of shoes. Probably not.
Yeah, you could get by on what you've got. So...
Yeah, really good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Like, is it going to be something that's going to, that you need to survive, or, because you do need shoes to survive.
Yeah.
we need some sort of shoes.
Yeah.
But you've already got over 100 pairs, so you don't really need another pair. It becomes a want then. And you can do that with anything. Take a look, like, take a step back. If you're going to spend all this money on something, take a step back and go, well, geez, am I going to use it? What would my life be like if I didn't buy it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really going to hurt your life?
That's a good way to think about it.
I have to catch myself even now and just kind of go, you know, do I really need that? You know, I don't need any more, you know, I don't need any more exercise equipment. I've got so much stuff I didn't use, I started selling some of it.
Yeah, yeah, because you are, and you're becoming quite the exercise maven, too.
Yeah, until I hear my back this week.
Well, I think that one's going around, so just twist the wrong way, and it's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, the muscles just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I try to do stay healthy. And that's another thing. You don't have to spend a lot of money to stay healthy either.
That's, you know what, I kind of understand that, because when you look at, when I do actually watch commercial television, because, okay, to be honest with you, I don't have commercial television coming into my home, but you can't help but trip over it when you walk past a storefront or the commercial stuff that they have at the SkyTrains, or you go into a restaurant, and these days is like, do you remember the days when they didn't have televisions in the restaurants?
Yeah.
Now just about every restaurant you go into has a television, and you can't help but trip over the commercialized television, and it tells you that you have to have this in order to be healthy.
Yeah.
How much of that is really true, right?
Well, it's not. I mean, you can get out and walk.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go, like, the City of Vancouver. I belong to the City of Vancouver Fitness Centers. Like, I've got one of their passes. And, yeah, it's reasonably priced, and I can go as much as I want. I go to the pool and the gym.
Yeah.
And you can take courses and everything else, and you can do all that through the city and get it at a reduced price. And some of these fitness centers do have reduced prices, too. You just have to look into them and check and see where is the least expensive, if that's the route you want to go.
Yeah. So, I know myself, I guess because I'm also pretty lucky that I living near the beach, I just go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's pretty easy to, like, okay, let's walk through the sand. Let's walk through the water, right?
Yeah.
Which gives a little more stuff to your walk and your exercise. So I'm pretty lucky with that one, but, you know, but how much does it cost to go for a walk around your neighborhood, right?
Yeah, that's it. And you never know what you're going to find either.
Yeah. Well, I guess the other question is, especially if you have a disability, how much does the government actually subsidize for you to go exercise? Because everybody needs to exercise. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's got to exercise.
Well, that I don't know. I know that there have been ladies in my when we're sitting in the hot tub, they've talked about it, but I don't know what the how much they will subsidize. I guess a lot of it would depend on whether you could get a doctor's recommendation.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, you'd have to look into that. Anyone listening that is on disability and looking at that would have to check with their worker or whatever.
Right. Okay. So that makes sense. But there's a so because I know you eat a very healthy diet, it's was it high in protein, low in sugar, or something like that? Diet you're on?
Low carb, and I don't eat refined. I don't eat processed foods. Like I try to eat nothing that comes in a package.
Mm-hmm.
And it's moderate protein, higher on the fat.
Yeah. So before you were on that diet, and I know it's been a long time for you since you had processed food, were you spending more money on the processed food versus the diet that you're on now?
Well, when you first switch over, it is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a bit expensive. But the thing is that in the long run, you don't eat as much when you're eating the real foods.
Okay.
Because when you're eating things like, I used to be a big Kraft Dinner fan. But they don't keep you full that long when you're eating stuff like that.
Right.
They tend to, and then you get the sugar spikes because of the grains that are turning into sugar in your body, and you get the spike of energy and hyper and everything, and then you crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're eating again. Because when you're carb-based, you do tend to eat 5 meals a day. Where I find that because I'm not carb-based, I'm trying to become... I keep slipping. That's my problem. I don't stick to things. Don't stick to diets. But I find in the long run that I'm spending probably less money on food, on groceries, now that I've got myself to the point of not eating the processed food. And you can always find deals on fresh vegetables and that. You don't have to eat organic or grass-fed. That's where it really gets pricey.
Yeah. And I know I don't. I always buy fresh vegetables, and I don't always reach for organic.
No, but like I said, because it is. That's where you really start to increase your food budget. And I know that there's a lot of people that say you're not getting healthy unless you're getting the organic or the grass-fed. But if you can't afford it, you can't afford it.
That's true. And it's better to at least eat, be on the path than not to be on the path, right?
Yeah, be on the path and do what you can and eat, healthier. I mean, if you, there's for some reason you can't get to the fresh vegetables, buy frozen ones.
Mm-hmm.
Canned usually has a lot of salt added, so you have to be careful there.
I was gonna ask you that, is like, what about the canned?
But can eat canned too. I know that one of the things I do is I make my own bone broth,
mm-hmm.
which is really nourishing and really healthy. And that can tide you over. If you're, like, I intermittent fast as well, so I don't eat until noon.
Oh, okay.
But
wait a second, didn't they always tell us as kids that we had to eat a good hearty breakfast in order to fuel up for the day?
Do you know where that saying comes from? It was a magazine in the early 1900s, and it was the self-proclaimed top health magazine. And the person who edited it was Dr. Kellogg.
Kellogg's cereal.
Yeah, the founder of the cereals. I think that there was a conflict of interest there.
Well, Kellogg's cereal, they're the king of sugar-packed breakfast foods.
Yep.
Personally, if I want cereal, what I do is I go get some rolled oats and nuts and put it in yogurt, and that's my cereal.
That's good for you. That's great.
I just can't take those box things that they sell on the shelf. I don't know.
Take a look at the ingredients. See, whereas I don't do grains, so that wouldn't be good for me, but. But if you take a look at this packaged foods, like if you have to, it has anything that has a whole bunch of ingredients on it, especially things you don't know what they are or can't pronounce, stay away from.
You mean that benzo something 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 stuff isn't good for me?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And I know there are a lot of people that are horrified that you aren't.
Yeah.
That I'm, you know, I don't eat first thing in the morning. Well, no, I mean, when you look back to go back to the caveman days, we survived quite well. And, well, a lot of times people got up in the morning, they didn't have any food. They had to go hunt it or dig it up or whatever.
Right. You know.
You know, we would go days without food and still survive.
I had somebody on the show once, and we talked about the necessities of life, food, water, and air.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, that it's like, and it kind of makes sense. Food, you can go for months without food.
Yeah, especially if you have body fat to live on.
Yeah. Water, it works out to be a matter of, I think it was weeks or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Air is seconds.
Yeah. You kind of need.
It's like, you can't breathe, you can't live, right?
Yeah. Tell me that's important.
Yes. Somehow or another. Yeah. It just became a funny point in the interview with that one. But how much of the... So if we don't eat a commercial diet, how does that affect... It start to affect our finances?
Well, one, if you aren't eating all that garbage,
mm-hmm.
your health will be better.
Mm-hmm.
Which means you're going to save on medications and doctor visits and all that. Though we're Canadian, we don't have to pay every time we go to the doctor. You will get more done, so you can earn more money. And you'll be sharp. Your mind will be clearer.
Mm-hmm.
You just, in my mind, eating a healthy diet and regular exercise, it brings everything together. And
right.
It does help you financially, because like I say, you're not going to be taking all those high blood pressure pills. You cut your risk of heart problems and everything. You're not destroying your body.
Right. So a lot of these other things, they help us with destroying our body instead of nourishing our body.
Yeah, I truly believe that it does. I believe that the whole low fat, where you've got all these, because when they took the fat out of food,
mm-hmm.
they replaced it with sugar, so they had some taste to it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get back on that point in just a second.
Okay.
You're listening to the Community Living Radio on the NCRA networks, and we're here live at CITR, UBC Vancouver, and you found us on 101.9 FM. And
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You You've been troubled. You've been broke. You've been hungry. No job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad. No, that's all that is.
And we're back, and we're speaking with Karen McGill, and she's telling us about being healthy, and she has a program called the 90-Day Turnaround that will help your finances, and we're talking about some of the things about eating healthy and how that actually helps affect our finances. So having a healthy body. Would you say, Karen, that having a healthy body and healthy finances can go one in one?
I do believe that because, as I said, a healthy body, you don't need to spend money on medications.
Right. So we're talking about the low fat and how they replaced low fat with actually the food manufacturers were replacing it with sugar. And I was going to ask you a question. We had to go to station break. So is sugar like sandpaper to the heart?
Well, sugar,
I mean,
sugar is what. Now I know there may be medical experts out there that are going to disagree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been told for a long time that it is fat that causes clogged arteries and everything else, but it's looking now more like it is sugar. And actually, at the same time that the lipid hypothesis came out, there was another doctor, I think he was in England, that was saying, no, it's sugar that's the problem.
Because from one, just some of the research that I have actually gone through myself, it's sugar and the LPL cholesterols that actually cause the clogging in the clots in the arteries. And it is the the lubrication for your veins and your arteries is the HPLs, and you get those by eating more fats in your diet, more complex fats in your diet. I'm not talking about like the deep fried fat stuff. We're talking like not the fatty stuff that's on your meat. Not trimming it quite as much and leaving some of that so that you ingest that type of fat into your body. Is that what you found?
Healthy fats like olive oil and coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
And omega-3s. And all you have to do is look at the people that following the low-fat diet, and we are having higher rates of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, higher rates of type 2 diabetes.
Right.
And think about, because I say my area of expertise is finance. And you just think about how much that costs a person.
Well, type 2 diabetes, that's the insulin-dependent diabetes, right?
Type 2 diabetes is caused by lifestyle.
Yeah.
Type 1 is an autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
And type 2 diabetes, according to Dr. Jason Fung, who's written a great book called Obesity Code, he's actually cured type 2 diabetes with fasting. But according to, like, its problem is that there's too much insulin in the body,
mm-hmm.
which is why it doesn't make sense to give them more insulin. Because there's too much insulin in the body, and the body doesn't know how to handle it anymore.
Right.
So that's why type 2 diabetics. And you get a lot of type 2 diabetics that are doing what their doctors have told them, and governments have been telling them to do for 40 years, low fat. You eat the low fat. Exercise more, eat less. We're always putting the blame on the person, and it's not. It's the diet. It's what we've been told to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You got into one of my passions here.
Okay, let's be honest with the rest of the world that we call each other and we actually talk about this sort of stuff all the time, right?
Yes, and you know, ever since, like, my father died in December of 2014, and he was a diabetic. He had numerous heart attacks and a few strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I still say if we could have gotten him off the low-fat and all the grains and the, you know, eating so many, eating five times a day every 2 hours, that we probably could have really improved his life. But
yeah. Well, and I don't really doubt that at all. That we follow the marketing, what is marketed to us, instead of what is really healthy, right?
Yeah, and the problem was, and it's like with, I mean, if anyone's interested in it, they can just really do it. You can find all sorts of videos on YouTube that explain this even more.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing with how the low-fat movement got started and the science behind it that they say is faulty science. And it's really quite interesting to see how it all came together.
Yeah. And there really is we both agree on that one, that there is a lot of faulty science. And the faulty science was due to the fact that they just wanted to make money.
They handpicked the data.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the only ones since we're talking about finance, the only ones that are making money off this are the big pharmaceutical companies and the food manufacturers.
Yeah.
Everyone else is losing money and health.
Yes, that is exactly it. It would seem that there's two groups of people in our financial system that do well. They either sell food or they sell oil.
Yeah, it just so
kind of funny that way, right? But they're the ones that also, when you look at commercial television again. This is one of the big reasons why I cut it out, because you know, it is my simple little car good enough to get me from my home to me to do like this radio show, or to go pick up a bag of groceries or something like that? Do I need to have the big fancy car where I have the lease payment that's $500 a month, right? Do I have to have that? Or could I just have something I could pay with cash, right?
Yeah.
And do I need to have... Do I need to eat all the Kraft dinner and all the other stuff? Do I really need to eat that? Or is going to the... actually, there's a vegetable market I can walk to, so I don't even need my car to get to this vegetable market up the street from me. Buy a bag of vegetables and chop them up into bite sizes so that I can eat them raw or lightly steam them with a little bit of real butter and have that for a meal, you know. Do I need to have the Kraft dinner, right?
Right, so. And you don't really.
Right.
Another thing, people with going to, well, fresh vegetables are so expensive. Well, take a look. I mean, a lot of places, like these little, if you're close to one of these markets, they'll have things that are starting to go bad on sale. Mm-hmm. You know, get a great big bag for a dollar. You have to eat them up fast, but...
No. Well, if usually you can find that and I buy enough to eat for me and my wife for the day, right?
Yeah.
And
well, that's the thing. Like Vancouverites are lucky. If you go down to Gore and Powell, is it? I think it's Gore and Powell, but it's the Sunrise Market.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They have super cheap vegetables there. They don't last a long time, but they're super cheap.
Okay, I get it. You brought this up, and we'll get into this, right? Have you ever seen vegetables that don't rot?
No. I've never seen vegetables that don't rot.
I actually bought a bag of, what was it? It was a bag of celery, and I had the celery for a month. Now, granted, you need to keep things in a refrigeration, all that kind of stuff, right? But,
mm-hmm.
But I had this bag of celery for a month, and it didn't go limp. It didn't rot. It didn't do anything. I was like, I eventually threw it out because I was like, this is kind of crazy to me. But it should only last about a week. If it's not, we're not talking organically grown. We're just talking stuff that's been grown in the soil.
Yeah, but was it covered the whole time?
No.
Okay, because
I don't use plastic, and I don't use a lot of plastics in well, my food.
Okay, well, I've got some that came in plastic, and it's in the fridge, and it's celery, and it's been there a little while. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just like, it was just kind of interesting. That's all. So let's get to the before we run out of time. Let's get to a 90 day turnaround. What's the basis of it, and how do people get to join in?
If anyone listening is interested, the easiest way is to contact me,
mm-hmm.
and I can send you a link to sign up. And you can watch the webinar, it's a free webinar, which will show you the whole process of the only money and the saving and the whole bit and how we go about it. My step, I have a 5-step program with my program, and what it is that you do things like research and fact-finding, find out how to contact all your creditors, and mm-hmm. what we're going to do is just find you some lower interest rates and figure out ways to help you spend less.
Okay.
That's basically it, because I can't talk, and my mind went blank there.
Not
just doing an interview.
Uh-oh, did you suffer from MS brain all of a sudden?
No, I think, you know, I can't say that it's being blonde, because I'm not a brunette, so.
So, how do they find the webinar?
Yeah, well, the easiest way would be to write me at KarenMcGill@KarenMcGill.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to KarenMcGill.com. The last name is spelled M-A-G-I-L-L. And there's links to the webinar on there.
Okay. Awesome. So go to your website, Karen McGill, MAGILL.com.
Yeah, and on the first page, you'll see in the write up there's a link to the webinar.
Awesome. And do you have one? You said about the process of causing a habit of saving by maybe just putting a dollar away every time you get a check into a piggy bank.
Into a piggy bank, yeah. Or if you can do more like find a bank account that won't, like an online bank account that you put money in that won't charge you fees every month.
Okay. So that would be the other. Is there any other advice that you would give people that they can maybe start something on their own?
For saving money?
Yeah, just for saving money.
You can also have the piggy bank and just put all your change into it.
Okay.
A lot of people have done that, and it really adds up. And if you don't want to do a piggy bank, get a old glass jar or something. But just something you're not going to dip into all the time.
You know what I found really hard to get into once you have it in there? Although this does come with a warning for those who have trouble lifting. I found a water jug, you know, for the water cooler,
mm-hmm.
water jug, and I put all my change in that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like... So that's I started putting on, and there was one time that I'll keep this story really brief. We ran short for gas, and we just took a couple handfuls out of the water jug, and we were able to get gas.
That is amazing how much you can. Especially change. You never realize how much it adds up to.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I've got a little cash register piggy bank, and when I emptied it one time, I had like $50 in there when I wrapped all the money.
Wow.
Yeah, it adds up really fast.
Yep. So. Okay. Well, we're running out of time. And again, if you want to... Want to improve your financial health? Contact Karen at KarenMcGill.com, and it is McGill, not McGill.
M-A-G-I-L-L.
Right. And so get you started on the program, and if you're really lucky, she'll maybe even discuss how to get you on a better diet too. So, because she loves talking about how she's gotten healthy with the current diet that you're on, right?
Right.
So, and you're just a fantastic person that way.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
So are you.
So, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Like I said, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, maybe some people eventually start to think that, hey, we might even actually like each other. So
okay, I disabuse that notion fast.
Yeah. So, all right. Thank you, Karen. And you have a great day. And I hope your back feels better.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye now. Bye.
So that's today's show with Karen, and we will see you next week with another brand new guest.